Hey there, independent Scientologists. Discover a new perspective to your bridge by visiting ao-gp.org. Get in session with remote auditing using the Theta Meter. Are you curious about where you stand? Head on over to ao-gp.org now and take our free personality test. Join the growing group of independent Scientologists today.
Hi, and welcome to another AOGP Outside of the Church podcast. This is season 8, episode 5. I'm here with Quentin. Quentin, how are you this afternoon?
Man, I am fantastic. We're doing good today.
Excellent. Me too. Busy, busy, busy. We are going to take a look at why and the subject of independent Scientologists take responsibility for everything that's happened to everyone from the church and then some. And this is a very interesting topic that came up from a policy letter that I stumbled upon in colorizing the organizational executive course volume number 5. And it's from 1962, issue 2, called Responsibility Again. So we're going to dive right into this. And this is pretty technical, though it's a policy letter. It really probably could be a technical letter also, or a bulletin. And Quentin, I'm gonna have you give your viewpoint on it, so I don't get too technical right out the gate here as far as what we're talking
sure.
about responsibility in the church and all of that stuff, and the different types of determinism.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you be as independent Scientologists, one thing that we have the privilege—I'll use that word. One thing we have the privilege of is being able to take responsibility for, you know, life, being able to take responsibility for things, being able to hold and know that as causative beings, we are responsible. And I want to be clear for those of listening that there's a difference between responsibility for and blame for. Right? Blame is a very low level, low tone vibrational thing. And so in no way is this any about any blame or whatever case may be, shifting blames or whatever. This is really about understanding why we do what we do, why what we do is so important as independent Scientologists outside of the church, and why this is the way we understand and know to keep Scientology working, to keep things going, right? Mm-hmm. So to just kind of paraphrase, when we say taking responsibility for everything that's happened to anyone from the church, right? From the Church of Scientology, anything. Listen, we've heard the stories. You can go and Google any YouTube or look at any YouTube thing. You can look at any TikTok, blah, blah, blah. You can look at it all, right? And you can see all of this stuff that has happened over the years, particularly, you know, since the 80s or whatever. But you can see how these things have shifted and how things have unfolded. And we now get the opportunity to take the power back. I love this.
Yeah,
as independent Scientologists, we get the opportunity to take full responsibility for the workability of this amazing spiritual technology and to apply it to people anywhere in the world in order to get them the gains and the wins and the results that they look for in their life. And so what we've run into, and this is kind of getting into the meat and potatoes of it, what we've run into is this charge or this mass, this heaviness, this weight, this energy that happens when you have a goal and you have oppositional force to that goal, okay? You got a goal. You got something that you're trying to accomplish. You got something you're trying to do. And this is us as independent Scientologists. This happens in your own life as well. And then you got this oppositional force, this counter force, this counter intention, this whatever this is that comes against that goal. When those two things meet, right? When those mm-hmm. two things meet, you get this ridge that's created. You get this mass that's created. You get this heaviness that's there. And this is what LRH calls goals, problems, mass.
GPM.
Yeah.
And this is technology that was spearheaded in 1961, 62. So we're looking mm-hmm. at what, 60 years ago?
Yeah. 100%. 100%. And so with this, we understand now, and I'm so glad you found this reference, and we're going to go into it in a second. But we understand now that as we have this very clear goal in our lives, in our experience, in our organization, in our life, you know, whatever, and these oppositional forces that come against it, it creates this mess. And you felt it when you're trying to get down the road and traffic is there or whatever, and it feels so heavy, like nothing's happening other than you're just sitting in your car with the air conditioner on and time is ticking, but you feel the frustration of it, you feel the heaviness of it, you feel the weight of it, because there seems to be this opposition to you getting to your destination. Does that sound about right?
And just, I mean, the way the reactive mind works, A equals A equals A. You mentioned the word politics to somebody. Heaviness. I'd be, oh, God. You know, or religion. And this is something that's been going on with a being for a very, very long time. And he mentions this in the reference. This isn't the, you know, like he says in another reference, he says there's nothing in this lifetime that can truly aberrate you, because you have these stacked up goals, problems, mass of long, long duration on the time track as a being. And we're going into the territory of, maybe it's hard for you to believe as a first time listener that you lived more than once. We assure you, for you to get auditing, you would find out that you don't live just once. You've been around a really, really long time, and you've seen and you've done a lot of things. And this is where these goals, because you have goals in this universe, you have to have goals. The primary goal is to survive, and everything goes from there. It's just, how am I going to survive? That gives you a goal. You run into opposition, you get mass that is created, and this is what creates this heaviness in life, where you're trying to achieve a goal this lifetime and you run into this opposition, and it just seems something that is unsurmountable. So this brings us to the determinisms, which is one of the, I've never seen a better delineated set of levels on the determinisms. And again, I'm going to let Quentin give the less technical aspects on this, as I think that would probably be better, because I get carried away. So take it away.
I would say let's start at the top, right? Let's start at the top and go down until the bottom of the determinisms, and then we'll break it down from there. So you want to read it and then I'll break it down.
No previous or current contact equals no responsibility or liability. It's not something you haven't run across before, basically.
If you've never contacted it, or you're not in current contact with it, or you're not dealing with it right now, it's not in front of your face, it's not something that you would, okay, then you would say, I don't have a responsibility for that. I'm not liable for that, right? Well, then you get into what?
And determinism. Then this is the top of the scale, full responsibility for both sides of a game, which you sort of mentioned earlier.
So when one is pan-deterministic, right? When one is pan-deterministic, or as being pan-deterministic, let me say it that way, is full responsibility for both sides of the game. So you're moving through life, you got these goals, you got these things that you're intending to do, and there's also these oppositional forces, whether it be matter, energy, space, and time, whether it be other people. We've encountered this at your job. You've encountered this in your family, your relationship, your mother-in-law, right? Whatever it is, there's these seemingly oppositional forces. But when one is pan-deterministic, you take full responsibility for both sides of the game. And that allows you to see, it's like playing chess with yourself. You can see how both pieces are moving, what both pieces are trying to do, what everything everybody's trying to, you know, do against me or to me or whatever, whatever. And you know how to maneuver your pieces, your life, yourself, your matter, or whatever. You know how to move it through in order to get to your win. So that's pan-determinism. Then there's
And then there's other determinism. The one thing I wanted to say on pan-determinism is what Ellery says about, there's only one thing you can be guilty of: being there and communicating. So if you're taking full responsibility for both sides of the game, who drove the car into the intersection that was hit? And I get, for
Who put
most people,
the
that who put the car there? You decided to take that route. You decided to leave at that time. Now, granted, that's a very, very high level, but how often do you see somebody say, well, you know, they have their viewpoint, I have mine, agree to disagree. Every
Oh,
now and
God.
then, yeah, every now and then you do. But I mean, is that really pan-determinism to say agree to disagree?
No.
No. And that
And I
leads us
hate
to,
that phrase, by the way.
yeah.
Me personally, I hate that phrase.
And that leads us to other determinism. No responsibility for other side of game.
Right. You know, right. When one is other determined, there's no responsibility for the other side. There's no responsibility. And this gets you in such a deteriorated condition, as LRH said in the policy letter. It gets you to such a deteriorated condition because it's like when the other person is on their own side and you on your own side, and I'm not taking any responsibility for your side of the game, there's no way you can have any influence, impact, shifting, whatever on that other side because it's all other determined.
Right.
You
And
see?
that's a fact.
Right. And so we bring this up for a reason, because just to kind of bring it all home a little bit, but when you have these goals in your life and you know what you want, you know what you want to accomplish, you know what you want to do, if you're not going into this thing with a high level, I'll say the highest level, but a high level of responsibility, chances are you're going to get hit with problems, and those problems opposing your goal is going to create this mass, this weight, this heaviness, and you feel it. It's a palpable sensation almost. And it's like, God, why is this so difficult? And I'm like, well, nothing's difficult. You just got to get through the problem. You got to get through the issue, right? But yet you can feel that energy. That's the mass that we're talking about. And that feels like something.
It's
Now, one can be
palpable.
self-determined. Yeah, 100%. Now, one can be self-determined. What does it say about self-determinism?
Full responsibility for self. No responsibility for other side of game. And this is a really, really interesting one when it comes to churchies, people in the Church of Scientology. And we need to unpack that a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, so where we are with this conversation is this. The reason why, as independent Scientologists, I mean, and just looking at this reference here, we are looking at this thing pandeterministically. We're looking at it from the viewpoint of independent Scientologists. We're looking at it from the viewpoint of the other side of the game, which is the Church of Scientology, right? That their whole thing. And then we're also looking at it from the viewpoint of you, the public, right? Those of you who are tapping in and wanting to get the help and wanting to become better and wanting to move up in your own life. And we know that you got to get this tech. We know that you have to get availability and accessibility to auditing. We know that you got to get on course. We know that this has to be made available to you in a certain way. And so the only way to really do it is to give you this stuff, the ways we're doing it, the formats we got the college, we got these podcasts that we do, we got, of course, remote auditing that we have available. We have all this stuff available outside of the church because there's so much what seems like oppositional force there. And that's why people have ridges about, you know, they'll be walking down the street and somebody try to get them in a church. Oh, I'm not going in that church, you know, whatever. No, okay, there's something there, right? It's obviously a mass that's there. And so independent Scientology can be pandeterministic about this, you see. We can look at this thing from a broader viewpoint and then still say, you got to get the tech. You got to get on course. You got to get into auditing. And we can get it to you. This is amazing. I'm telling you, where we are, let me just say this real quick, and then we can go back to the policy letter. Where we are in the 21st century, where we are with the availability of what we're doing right here in ALGP, it's mind-boggling. And the direction that we're headed with it, there's so much more to come, believe us. The direction that we're headed with this is going to make it so much better for you to get in session, to get these things handled in your life so that you're no longer hitting your own goals, problems, masses, You're no longer hitting your own heaviness, your own reactive mind junk that's keeping you from achieving the things that you want to achieve in life. That's what this is really all about, you see.
Yeah.
And so, go ahead.
Well, I was just I wanted to say, in comparison to the CDEI scale, which it starts out above curious. CDEI is curious, desired, enforced, inhibited, known, and refused. But above that is understand and know. And this follows along with that. And what you run into in the church is other determinism. You must do this. You must buy this. You have to listen to us. We aren't wrong. We do everything right. You are the one that is wrong. How can you ascend spiritually where you have some group making you so other determined? Now, and the interesting spin on this is no responsibility for other side of game. Is that on your side or is that on their side? And I say this to our listeners. Is the other determinism on their side or your side? Interesting question, isn't it? Who's being other determined? I mean,
That's true. Wow.
you have to look at that and go, well, if you've got an organization that says, well, we have your spiritual solutions, wouldn't you think that they would be pan-determined with you? Mic
Can
drop.
see your life, can see, right? Can see your life, can take responsibility for your experiences, can know what you're going through, can understand what you're going through, can even empathize, if you will. All of this stuff being there, like if you're rocking with this spiritual technology, you need to be pan-deterministic about it. It ain't for play play.
Right. Because I mean, and I know that you have a term for it, but it's the practice what you preach. And what is it you say? Practice what you preach, preach what you practice.
Yes, you can't just practice what you preach. You have to preach what you practice. And what that means is that a lot of people say, practice what you preach, like do what you say you're doing. But the other thing is, the real truth of it would be to preach what you practice. Because now I'm telling you, this is how we're operating. This is what we're doing, and very transparent about it. The problem is that the church is not very transparent about its practices all the time.
Right. Well, I mean, it's like LRH says in another policy letter, look, don't listen. Look, you have to observe. And that is part of curious, desired, enforced, inhibited, known, refused you can know if you observe the obvious. Obnosis is observing the obvious. It's a coined phrase by LRH. You have to be able to look, don't listen. What is going on? I get contacted almost daily on our website where people are saying, I love the tech. I just don't like the way the church goes about it. They're too pushy, the money and all of this stuff, because they immediately go into other determinism. They don't go to pan determinism, full response. Here's the deal. This is what we can do for you, is what we do. This is how much it is. We're using the original tech, so on and so forth. This is how we go about it, but we do have to keep the lights on, type of a thing. And we understand that that's not something you can do. You can always do free courses. There's co-auditing if you want to do that, so on and so forth. Instead, other determinism is what's your card number, what's your bank account number, how much would you make, how much and
How
it's
much can you
complete.
pull out your home equity line of credit?
Right. How much
Right.
equity do you have in your house? That sort of a thing. So that's what this podcast about is we're looking at it from the viewpoint of independent Scientology versus corporate Scientology, but we're also looking at this on an individual level. And at best on a good day, I'd say less than 2% of the people that go up the entire bridge in Scientology, due to the fact that they're so other determined, ever get beyond self-determinism on a really, really good day. They don't really ever get to pan-determinism because they are so other determined all the time. And then if you look at society at large, how self-determined are you in the United States of America? How self-determined are you I mean, you know, it's less and less and less, and we haven't even gotten to the last one here,
Well,
and we
I was
probably.
just gonna say because oh my God, let me tell you, and for those of you who know, you know me and Jonathan and a whole bit, like even traveling the world, because you guys know I travel a lot, even traveling the world, like these governments and these immigration officers and these, like, they make you, they try to make you other determined, right? They make it so that you can't do this or you can't do that and you can't get in here and you can't get in there. So it's like this other determinism where, like, you feel like you have no responsibility on the other side of that border patrol officer or whatever, that the other side of that situation, the other side of that game. And the truth is, as a pandeterministic being, you do. You actually do have responsibility on that end. So this is really good. Now, what then happens is this, and this kind of brings it all home to what LRH was talking about in this reference. What then happens as you descend down this thing of responsibility, right? So from pandeterminism, other determinism, self-determinism, and then goes down into valence, circuit. This is a thing, guys, and I want you to hear this, because when you're trying to get your goals, look, I gotta walk around because I feel like preaching. When you're trying to get your goals, when you're trying to get your goals going, and you're trying to get your stuff stuffing, right? You're trying to make things happen in your life. You gotta figure it out, and it takes a little work, but we can do it, right?
And
Are
he
you operating? Go ahead.
well he says no valence is no responsibility for the game, for either side of the game, or a former self, just to give them
Yes.
what the line says. Proceed.
Well, no, 100%. So, because I was going to go into that too. Because you got to figure out, are you actually you in making these goals go right? Are you operating as self, as you, as who you really are? Or are you operating with some other determinism, some other isness, some otherness? Right? Something that's not really, you hear it all the time when I travel, I meet a lot of people who have been to college or in college or whatever, they're traveling, and they say they're in medical school. I meet a lot of Indian people who go to medical school, or my parents wanted me to be a doctor, or my parents wanted me to be a lawyer, da, da, da. And then what ends up happening is that's not their determinism. It's not them with that goal, you see. That's not their goal necessarily. She might be an artist, or she might be a musician, or she might have this other real viewpoint for herself, but there's a valence, a winning valence, that is making her do these other things. So when you go into your goals, when you're trying to make your goals happen, are you really you? And as LRH says it here, or a former self? This is so good.
And I'll give a larger scale example. You see these guys that like during the Second World War, and recruiting fellow Germans for the Nazi Party and everything like that. And you see these guys at the end of the war who were still alive, and they say, "Well, I was just doing my job." So there's no responsibility for the game at all, for either side of the game or for a former self, because you're just doing your job, and it was either succumb or succumb others. So you became other determined, no responsibility for the other side of the game, and then you went out of valence, which is a solution to a problem, typically survival. And then all of a sudden you find yourself wearing two lightning bolts on your lapel. And that is how a goals problems mass is created, is if you can't beat them, join them, and then you're in the valence of an SS officer, or whether you're an executive in a suppressive organization or not, the fact remains it's going to stick with you for an awfully long time, especially like when you get into, well, I mean, you look at that, at that time it was both religion and it was also politics and
Also, nationalism, yeah.
nationalism and all of these things. And so this is at the very bottom of the scale, and why it's important is valence is a solution to a problem, and that problem is typically survival. So in taking responsibility and being a cause over things with auditing and with training, you go from, and we should probably put these in the proper order, other than the way he describes them here. And we'll put the policy letter in the comments field on YouTube. At the bottom, you've got you're out of valence. You're being somebody else. Mm-hmm. And then you've got other determinism. Then you've got self-determinism. Then you've got pan-determinism. And sort mm-hmm. of above all of that is, you know, never heard of that before, had nothing to do with it, never came across it on your time track, which to me personally, I think is a bit rare for just about anything. You've been there and done that on just about everything that you've done. And I find that hard to believe. And if somebody says that, I would have to say they're probably occluded on whatever that subject matter
right.
is, because it's a finite universe. Come
did
on.
Did you though? Like, you never heard? Never?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That's why it's occlusion. So,
well, that's what he says in his letter. He says, herein is the cause and remedy of the whole track occlusion, because a valence is it's an occlusion.
Right. So I didn't have anything to do with that. I've never done anything like that
in my existence.
Right. And then and the interesting thing is that like he says, in the herein is the cause and remedy of whole track occlusion. So when somebody says, well, you know, there's no such thing as past lives, somebody in our position who's aware of this and has had auditing and everything, and not in a judgmental state, I say this is almost as a funny thing, that somebody says, well, you know, you only live once, and that's when we both look at each other and go,
YOLO.
I see.
We understand.
Take a seat here and grab the cans, please. All right, this is the right. session. because to the degree that you're having that sort of a response is to the degree that you don't know what you don't know, and that those are the levels of competency. And I don't think I've mentioned them on the podcast with you before, and I want to just bring that in real quick because I think it'll resonate with people. It's there's four levels of them, and what it is the following. At the bottom, you've got unconscious incompetence, so wrong intuition. And above that, you've got conscious competence, which is wrong analysis. And above that, you've got conscious competence, which is right analysis. And above that, senior to everything else, is unconscious competence, right intuition. Now, this isn't a Scientology datum, but it explains the scale of awareness in a way that everybody can easily understand. And that just comes down to, if a person isn't aware of the fact that they're being buffeted around by their own past experiences and doing this is, as one viewpoint or another, a valence or a circuit, then they're unconsciously incompetent. They don't know that they don't know. And then you get them up to a point to where they're aware. Okay, now this is where this pretty much describes the determinisms too, because there's four. Well, there's five if you got no contact, but like we said, that's not probably the case very often. But unconscious incompetence would be in a valence. Conscious competence would be other determinism. Conscious competence would be self-determinism. And unconscious competence would be pan-determinism, because you just look at it and you go, yeah, I get their viewpoint.
And you just know. Yeah. You have this awareness, this intuitive awareness, like, I get you. I understand. I feel where you're coming from. Like, And even though it's not your lived experience or your real reality, you know that other person's or that other side of the game, right? You know what it is. You have full and can take full responsibility for that. And I think this is why, you know, when we brought this whole thing about everybody that anything has been happening to them from the church side, from the corporate Scientology side, the reason why I think it's so important that we kind of open ourselves up to that level of responsibility as independent Scientologists is because they came looking for help. They came to the corporate church, however they met it, however they ran into it, however it happened, they came looking for help. And the help is available to you. It's here. And yet there was these problems, there was these things, these oppositional forces or whatever it felt like that was keeping them from getting the help that they needed. And now we're doing the work on a very, very diligent level to remove those problems for you. Whether it be space, whether it be time, whether it be distance, whether it be like we're removing those problems, you know, whether it be matter, we're removing those problems so that you can have what you sought out to have as a spiritual being.
Right,
And that's why we do this.
and need for change is on the awareness scale, which is somewhere between unconscious incompetence and conscious incompetence. You know something's not right, and you want to get it fixed, and that's because you're aware of this mental mass, and you're like, you know, there's something there that's stopping me. I'm gonna read this real quick. We're into the technicalities of this, and then end the podcast. But he says here in this reference, responsibility again. The goals problems mass is made up of past selves or valences, each one grouped and more or less in a group. Therefore, the characteristic of the part of the valence or circuit is the characteristic of the whole, the collection of valences known as the goals problems mass, a solution to a problem based off of the way you behave about something. The way a being is hung with persistent masses is the mechanism of getting him to believe certain things are undesirable. And this is the key thing here, undesirable. These he cannot then have. He can only combat them or ignore them. Either way, they are not as is. He can't look at them as they really are. Thus, they persist. Only undesirable characteristics tend to persist. Therefore, the least desirable valences or traits of valences persist. This is why you run into this massiness. The way not to have is to ignore or combat or withdraw from. That is not having this. Ignore, combat, or withdraw from. These three, ignoring or combating or withdrawing, sum up to no having. Why can't you achieve, wait for it, your goals? They also sum up to no responsibility for such things. And this is where this whole thing wraps up. Thus, we can define responsibility as the concept of being able to care for, to reach, or to be. To be responsible for something, one does not actually have to care for it in this situation, as we open the podcast with. We don't have to care for the church or reach it or be it. One only needs to believe or know that he has the ability to care for it, reach it, or be it. Care for it is a broader concept than, but similar to, start, change, or stop it. It includes guard it, help it, like it, be interested in it, etc. And that is probably the most noble thing you could say. And that falls into what LRH says about what is
Yeah.
greatness, is to love in spite of all is truly greatness. I'm paraphrasing.
Right.
So I'm going to finish up here real quick. He says, one has done things. When one has done these things and then had failures through overts and withholds, one cycles down through compulsive and obsessive care, reach and be, and inverts to withdraw from, combat, or ignore. If you have withholds in an area, you can't reach them. Auditing handles that. Understanding them through training handles that. Along with ignore goes forgetting or occlusion. This is where you go, ain't no past lives. I only live once. Thus, a person has occlusion on past valences, and past lives go out of sight. These return to memory only when one has regained the concept that they can be reached, or that one dares be them again, or that one can care for them. Herein is the cause and remedy of whole track occlusion. So if you're interested in past lives, this podcast is for you. The main thing is get your overts and withholds off. You can do that in various ways. You can write them down. You can get auditing. You can learn about them. But he says all chronic somatics and behavior patterns are contained in valences and are not traceable to this current lifetime, since one can reach present life, is caring for present life, and is being present life. So present life is an area of responsibility. All real difficulty stems from no responsibility. So if you are in the church and you're seeing all of this difficulty and why everybody doesn't like it, it all comes from no responsibility on the church's part. Snap. And he says, however, in closing, one can use these principles even on present life with considerable gain. So you have to come back and look at these pan-determinisms and really get an understanding of, are you really pan-determined in an organization that is telling you how to be, what to do, and approaching it from a dogmatic standpoint? Or are you other determined, which is at the bottom right. of the scale, or are you out of valence? And if you're out of valence, you need to get that handled first, because if you're out of valence, auditing doesn't work, because you're auditing who you're being, not who you are.
Yeah.
And
that's so good.
Super important. And I'm going to go one step further. Third dynamic, the organization is out of valence.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to leave you with that and think about that one.
That's huge.
Out of it's That's on the huge. On the third dynamic, the church is out of valence. They are not what LRH intended. They are not what LRH wanted them to be in the first place. No responsibility for the game, for either side of the game, or for a former self. Do you get that? For a former
wow.
self.
Yeah.
We were never that way.
This is why when we had that podcast when about mob tactics and about different things, like, you're being something else, bruh. Like, you're being something else.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And don't be that. Be what you intended to be. Be what you were created to be. Be keep the original tech working. Keep this in. But no, you're being something else. Mm-hmm. And you're being a corporation. You're being a something else. And I this is so good. Anyway.
Yeah, that I think you were referring to the one with Ed, who was in the mob, and LRH was so intensely interested in how they go about what they do and everything, that he had Ed come out and interviewed him and everything and said, so how does this stuff work? Explain this to me, type of thing. Because of this, because of valences and the way they behave. And you see these behaviors in the church. So listen to that podcast with the interview with Ed over the phone. Very, very interesting. So anyway, this all ties up together. We've got lots of podcasts that are interrelated here on these subjects, and we hope you've enjoyed this podcast with Quentin and I on responsibility again, and how we're taking responsibility for Scientology as a whole as to what the valence truly was. And let your friends have this podcast. Come to ao-gp.org, the College of Independent Scientology.com, take a course, be social. We've got all kinds of neat stuff on all our various websites. They're all interconnected, so you can find them. So for Quentin Stroud and myself, we bid you guys adieu. Namaste, and we love you.
Peace.
This is LRH. I wanted to talk to you now that we are in the second decade of the 21st century and remind you of a few things you should use and operate off of now that I have left you to build a better bridge with all the tools I gave you. Back in 1962, I wrote a policy called When You Need Reassurance. What I said then still holds true today and up the track as well. When you hear people growling, when the lines are all awry, when the auditor has flubbed and the world of Scientology looks black, just remember that in the dozen years of sometimes despairing work and heartbreaking setbacks, the dream has yet come true. We have it now. We can and are clearing them all, and you. In Scientology, just remember this when all looks dark. It will all come out all right. I need you, as independent Scientologists, to take this to heart and apply it every day, given what has happened to the corporate church of Scientology. Dianetics and Scientology has the answers you're looking for, and even some you don't know you have questions for yet. The Advanced Organization of the Great Plains, along with its online course room, the College of Independent Scientology, is there for you to help introduce you to and standardly apply the technology I and a handful of others created in the manner it was to be used. They have my works and can direct to what you are looking for. They are there with your best interests at heart and to carry the torch of spiritual freedom we've worked so hard to keep burning. It is up to you to take that information, help others with it, and make this universe a far, far saner place than it is in the 21st century. I have complete confidence in you to do this, and expect you to carry on with the aims of Dianetics and Scientology set forth so many years ago. I believe in you and know you can do this for yourself and everyone you meet. I am always here for you in my writings and in the Theta universe. Help one another and avail yourself of this technology. Never let anyone shake your stable datum of being in the right place. I can assure you that you are in the right place without reservation when it comes to Scientology and Dianetics and getting up the bridge. I know you can do this, and I will see you up the track. Thank you, and I love you all for continuing in the name of spiritual freedom and Dianetics and Scientology.